Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What up, y'all? Welcome back to another edition of the DNVR Draft Podcast, presented as always by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Download it today. Use the promo code DNVR when you sign up. We have a ton to go over. It is mock season. It is coaching hiring season. It's speculation season, and we're going to dive into all of it. We're going to kind of go back and forth about the possibility of trading for Sean Payton. Dive into some prospects, debate, you know, if this prospect were to fall, would it still be worth giving up that draft capital for Sean Payton or not? It'll be just kind of a nice little exercise, something we're going to have to consider given the fact that we're not going to be able to get Sean Payton unless you trade that draft compensation for him. But first things first, Jake, how's it going, my man?
I'm doing well, bro. I'm surviving. The portal is closed. My life has eased a little bit for now. Can't complain.
At least until all the moves start happening with spring ball, right? And guys start, you know, doing that type of stuff.
Yeah, I'm expecting quite a big exodus of potential scholarships for the Buffs.
That's going to be interesting to follow because for CSU, they didn't really have a ton of spring exits. They ended up having much more, you know, mid-season with the new four-game rule. I will be curious to see how Deion is kind of able to figure out that balance. I saw a report that he allegedly wants the roster to be 80% transfers. Yeah. My take would be that's going to be a hard way to hit every single time. But also, I mean, it's kind of like the minor leagues at this point. Anyways, I'm sure you'll talk about that plenty on the Buffs pod. Dre, how's it going, my guy?
It's going pretty good, man. It's going pretty good. I love this speculative season. In fact, DraftKings has some amazing odds on next team for even Tom Brady right now, which is kind of juicy, kind of saucy. Also at home with the kiddo, so we might get some wild noises in the background. That's just part of the dealio today. But yeah, I'm excited for this coaching search. The playoffs were awesome. I'm worried the divisional round is going to lull us into sleep and think that it's all faves, but last year it was all dogs. So I'm excited for that. And yeah, man, excited to talk coaching, mock drafts, everything and anything with you guys.
Best football weekend of the year, by the way. Divisional weekend. Absolutely love it.
Great call out. Does T-Law do it, Jake?
Yes, of course he does.
Let's go. Let's go. Doug Peterson, he knows what Andy's got in his bag. He knows. Yes. Justin, I know you cringe, but the greatest, most painful Chiefs upsets we've seen in recent memory, all AFC South related. Andrew Luck with the huge comeback. Mariota passing it to himself and running it in. Come on, T-Law can do this, guys.
I will say I saw a quote that said, Trevor Lawrence doesn't expect Arrowhead to be that much louder than what he experienced in Jacksonville over the weekend. And that alone was like, oh man, Chiefs by 40.
Oh, Trevor. He's learning.
It's a part of it. He'll get there. But I mean, it's not like he is going to be gun shy or something. I mean, this guy played in national championships and, you know, against the Alabamas and Georgias of the world. It's not like a big time atmosphere will be foreign to him. But a lot to get into. So let's dive right into this conversation here. Since we last recorded, we have found out that Jim Harbaugh is going to remain with the University of Michigan.
Congrats, Jake.
Maybe reluctantly. It seems like kind of an odd deal there. I'm not so sure he wants to be there, but maybe doesn't have a better option. I don't know. What's your take on all of this, Jake? And then we will give our top Broncos candidates minus Jim Harbaugh now that he is out of the picture.
I'll keep it short, man. I told you guys, this one felt different. This one seemed like he was less on board with the NFL thing than he was last year. I mean, the Vikings got way further. They got him in the building. Of course, they wanted to vet him. He wanted an offer. It didn't work out. Seems like this was the move all along.
As a Michigan fan, you are
ecstatic.
Okay.
That's huge.
That makes sense. Just making sure.
It's huge. And as I mentioned, like JJ, now that CJ Stroud's officially declared, JJ McCarthy is the one returning quarterback for the like true blue bloods in college football, the true natty contenders. So I think that's huge. But hasn't this always felt like kind of a forced marriage to some extent, Justin? Like it's almost like they're like staying together for the kids, you know? It's like, gosh. I'm a Michigan man. I guess I'll stay, but it's not what's in Jim's heart, you know.
It reminds me a little bit of early Saban at Alabama when there was always the like. I think there was a part of Saban that was embarrassed with how things went in the NFL, and at least Harbaugh doesn't have that. He doesn't have like the pride of being like, "No, I can do this," and just was in a weird circumstance and didn't get an opportunity to show what I can do. But I do think early on in his tenure, there was some of that with Saban where he kind of wanted to go back to the NFL. Now, I don't think it's there. Now, I don't think he would. But with Jim, it will be interesting to see kind of over the next 10 years how this all plays out with the potential job opportunities. You know, does he even take interviews these next couple of cycles? It'll be really interesting to see how this all plays out.
I'll say that it appears that there's a rift between him and the AD, and Jim doesn't really like Manuel. So the announcement he was coming back was actually him talking to the president. He and the president of Michigan kind of figured this out. And then the president informed the AD. So I think that actually might be a little bit of the motivation too.
So Jim, basically, he was like, you want to know what? This freaking regional assistant manager here, he's just driving me insane, busting my ass every shift. I'm going over his head. I'm talking to the regional manager and we're getting something done.
That might be a rough cliff notes of a version of what's just happened. Yeah.
I'll say this. Football coaches win a hell of a lot more football games and bring a lot more money into the university than ADs do.
It's damn true.
Facts. But the ADs are the ones who make those big hires, you know. Michigan plus 1,000 to win the Natty. I'm just going to say that.
Ooh.
And if they get it done, like, he's out. He's done his job. He can leave.
Yep.
I think we can all agree on that.
Yep.
What are Georgia's odds right now since they have just the easiest cakewalk of a schedule of all time on paper?
Plus 260.
There's still enough juice on that that I would probably take it. I mean, we'll see what happens with the quarterback situation down there, but
those are machine, man.
Those odds are only going to get shorter as it goes on. It'll be like minus 250 by October.
Yeah.
I will say those are pretty short odds for a team that's going to have a brand new starting quarterback.
Especially at this point. That
situation again. Yeah.
Not a ton of value betting wise, but let's get into it. I wanted to just kind of briefly talk about the Harbaugh situation, but now that he's out of the mix, he was my top guy. I would have loved to have seen him in Denver. I just think he's a respectable football coach. I think all the things that people mock him for are pretty valid. I think he's a big old dork, just being quite frank. But the guy wins, and that's what I want. I want to win. I don't want the coach to be the most popular guy necessarily in the locker room. You don't want him to be the most hated guy in the locker room either. But I just think with the whole Nathaniel Hackett situation, they need an alpha to come in here and turn it around. I've already made all these points before, so I'm not going to do it again. But Jake, you're the man. Harbaugh, no longer in picture. Give me your top three Broncos candidates.
So I'm going Sean Payton, number one. Just the best coach available at this point. We'll get into the compensation, but I think he's on the very, very short list of people that could actually turn this current situation around. Number two, I think I go David Shaw. The man knows ball, knows how to coach ball. People are going to look at that Stanford record. People don't realize Stanford was dealing with a lot of transfer restrictions that CU was dealing with the last few years that really limited how he built his team there. And then after that, man, I'd probably go Dan Quinn, which, I mean, maybe a hottish take, but what he's done with that defense in Dallas has been nothing short of amazing, and they are one of the best in the league. And this guy is a proven winner. He won in the NFL. People are going to say, yeah, with Kyle Shanahan, but he's been there. I'd love Dan Quinn on a second try to see what he could actually do and see what he learned from all these past few years.
Where are you at, Trey?
I like that. I would go Shaw one. I think the coaching chops are very high, and I kind of think there's been like a huge market overcorrection on him, where he was a really hot commodity and a guy who couldn't be got 3-4 years ago. He was like before Matt Campbell or like Lincoln Riley, David Shaw was that guy. Nothing has happened at Stanford that makes me think like, oh, he's lost it. It's just the circumstances at Stanford were very hard, and yet he was still developing pro prospects and putting them out in the NFL. I mean, Davis Mills has had a nice tenure and what have you. So he's one for me. And Sean Payton does concern me in the, like, I think David Shaw you need an alpha. I agree on that. You could also use a steady leader who's done it before and has a proven track record and is a teacher.
That's what I mean, more than like, not necessarily like sit down like, when I say sit down. You just need somebody that's like, that comes in and the entire room is just going to naturally shut the fuck up when he speaks, because that's the presence he has.
100%. It's also a young team, so I think they'll respond pretty well to David Shaw. I'd be intrigued with someone with that pedigree being able to come into the NFL and kind of adapt to some of these younger players, which I think is a big success. And a lot of the best coaches right now in the NFL is adjusting to the youth and how to coach those guys. Then I'd go Sean Payton. It scares me, the one-stop shop, the like just a football czar to cure all. I think how they handled the cap in New Orleans, the mixed success in the NFC South, the fact that you weren't always winning consistently with Drew Brees, that gives me some concern. But hey, I'll take a Parcells disciple who's done it again with an extensive track record. And then, honestly, my third candidate would be B-Flow, Brian Flores, who I don't think will be a candidate. DraftKings odds now have him as the front runner to go to the Cards, supplanting Sean Payton right now. But in that mold, I'd go D'Amico Ryans, who I'll take what Dan Quinn's done at the Cowboys and double you down with what D'Amico Ryans has done at the 49ers. It's a stellar defense. And honestly, I mean, we talk so much about Kyle Shanahan, but it's what's carried that team for the overwhelming majority of the season. I think he's a very intriguing up-and-comer, but I'm also reluctant to go all in on an up-and-comer. So those would be my top three guys.
I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this. All three of my guys have already been covered. You guys have made the points. Sean Payton would be one for me. I have all the same reservations about a one-stop shop as Dre does. I think when you look at the end of the Shanahan era, you can see some of the kind of flaws of only having one mind, you know, and only one hand on the wheel with this type of stuff. I just think it's easy to get really stagnant, particularly when you have a coach that is as proven as Payton is and, you know, quite frankly, is going to get the benefit of the doubt until it's too late. Two, I'd go David Shaw. We mentioned David Shaw on this pod like 5 weeks ago, long before I saw it mentioned on any other, you know, social media or anything like that. Mm-hmm. The reaction to David Shaw would not be great from the public because, frankly, a lot of people just don't watch enough college football to really understand what he did out there. He's a stellar football coach. He's been in the NFL for a decade. Like, he has that experience in the past. And as everything we've said, he's just a leader. He's a guy that's proven that he can do it despite not being at an even playing field. And when Stanford is bad, they're really bad. And he had them punching up, you know, against USC, obviously post Harbaugh, who kind of established some of that. But Shaw, as the OC, was a big part of that. I think he would be a stellar NFL coach. I think anybody that knows anything about football would agree with that. Third, this one, I'm kind of all over the place. I think I'd go to D'Amico Ryans. I generally would prefer somebody with head coaching experience. He doesn't even have a ton of DC experience, and that makes me hesitant. That said, when you look at the success of a lot of these first-time coaches across the league, you can't let Denver's recent misses completely eliminate you from a candidate pool, you know, a pool of candidates that potentially could be the guy. You know, I just think you have to be open to all possibilities. Last name I would throw out just as kind of it wouldn't stoke me, but I could probably talk myself into it. I think Jim Caldwell deserves another chance at a head coaching gig at some point for too. Sure. And I think he's a really good coach. I don't think he's the guy. I don't think he's flashy enough for what Denver needs right now, just in terms of regenerating excitement amongst the fan base. And maybe you could say that same argument for Shaw, but Shaw is such like a diamond in the rough. I think he really could be like such a steal.
Two things. I'm intrigued by D'Amico Ryans, mostly because he's a former player. You know, I think you can kind of, I don't want to say it levels out, but no, obviously no head coaching experience, but with a former player that played that long in the NFL, he brings something to the table.
And feels that Vrabel-esque, right?
Yes, exactly. And then on Caldwell, I'd just be interested if they hired him, how involved Peyton Manning could potentially get in the franchise, because they obviously go back. Wonder if that's kind of the tie that brings Peyton back into the fold. So
Peyton's seal of approval does carry weight with me. Like, I'm not saying Peyton should be determining the Denver's next head coach or anything like that, but that speaks volumes when a mind as brilliant as Peyton is like, no, this guy's for real. And it shows. I mean, he's the only guy that had a winning record with the Lions before he got canned in the last like 30 years. So he was able to do something much like Shaw. If you can win in a situation where essentially nobody else historically has been able to do it, you're probably doing something right.
Well, and then, I mean, every candidate kind of has its connections. If David Shaw gets to be selected, it's a big Condoleezza Rice endorsement. Dan Quinn would be huge for George Payton and Russell Wilson. You know, as would probably Evero to some extent. Sean Payton would be a huge win for the owner, you know, like it's every candidate has its like trickle down who it's satisfying the most.
Kind of off of that, do you like how this process is being handled? I saw a report recently and I want to credit who it is. Jake might have even sent it in the group chat, but it seems like Payton is going to be less involved in these interviews and it's going to be more Penner. And then Peyton's just kind of George Payton, this is not Peyton Manning, is going to kind of tour, you know, with these candidates around the facilities and stuff. I mean, what does that say about the state of the Broncos GM role right now and kind of where his standing is within this organization?
I think Peyton knows that he's his head may not be on the chopping block quite yet, but he's walking through the gallows. And so I think that he may be trying to not play as much a role, maybe lay a little low and try and let the ownership figure this out while he tries to keep a hold of his job.
Curious. It'll be very curious to see kind of what happens with him and his standing, what people view of him and how he's handled this roster situation. Because again, like we all would have made that trade. I think you can, in hindsight, you know, nitpick, but everybody was stoked for a reason when it happened. Even the contract, I think it's defensible. Like I would, it's easy to nitpick. It sucks that they did it before he ever played it down. I think 80% of the teams in the league probably would have done the same thing. That's all I'm saying. Anything else on these Broncos coaching candidates before we move on? Word. The NFL playoff action continues. We're one step closer to Super Bowl 57 and the NFL divisional round. is firing over at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers bet just $5, get $200 in free bets instantly. Plus, all new and existing customers can take a shot at an even bigger payout with DraftKings stepped up same game parlay. Boost your winnings with each leg you add up to 100%. The matchup I've got my eyes on, probably Eagles-Giants. I like the quarterback rushing props. I think there's an opportunity to juice the value there. The more you throw in, the more you boost it. Again, up to 100%. Nobody is hooking you up like the homies over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use that code DNVR. New customers bet $5 on the NFL divisional round. Get 200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with that code DNVR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Also, shout out to Jive Hive. It's J-I-V-E-H-Y-V-E. They are a virtual dispensary on wheels that offer convenient pricing, privacy, and security. They are job sensitive. If you're a lawyer or a doctor, they can deliver discreetly to you or to the privacy of your own home. Even if you're at home partying, you know who to order from. Don't drive. Jive Hive. Just visit jivehive.com. It's J-I-V-E-H-Y-V-E.com. And get your order delivered the same day or schedule a delivery window. We'll be there to say hi. Head over to jivehive.com and enter your address to find out if Jive Hive can deliver to your door. They are now serving Aurora, Greenwood Village, Monument, Fountain, and various areas of El Paso County. That's J-I-V-E-H-Y-V-E.com.
What a service. I mean, just avoiding those awkward dispensary interactions where you run into somebody you know and it's like, oh, yep, hey. Anyways, yeah, check out Jive Hive. It's amazing. And as is our partners at Breckenridge Brewery, because they just make it convenient. That's what we try and do. We try and partner with people that make your life more convenient. Breck does that. If you hop on breckbrew.com, you can find the Breck Beer locator. It's going to find the closest liquor store, grocery store, whatever near you, offering all of the amazing Breck variety. Whether it's the Mile High City Golden Ale, Avalanche Amber Ale, Funslinger, their new collab with Never Summer. Incredibly crushable, by the way. Summer day on the slopes. That makes sense. Sunny day on the slopes. Funslinger in hand does not get any better than that. Check out that beer locator again one more time at breckbrew.com. Find a Breck brew near you.
Whew. Beautifully done. Beautifully.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. Let's get into these mock conversations and
yes, kind of
everything we teased, because this is the main event here, you know, the entree of the meal. How do you want to start this?
'Tis the season. I think we'll start from Dame Brugler's from The Athletic, just in our latest mock roundup. Seemed like there were more people publishing new mocks this week, so you like to see that. I'm still seeing crazy variants on some of the top guys. As always, Quentin Johnson, Bijan Robinson, the guys who stand out the most to me, but even Christian Gonzalez, Broderick Jones, are guys who in some mocks are being mocked top 5, top 10, and in others outside of the top 20. Feels like maybe a little more variance than in years past even. Bryce Young going 1, though. Will Levis 2 to the Texans, with the Colts moving up to get Bryce Young. Also the Colts trading number 4 pick, the 35th pick, and a 2024 first rounder, which I guess sounds right, but also sounds kind of steep. And especially if CJ Stroud would have just dropped you at 4, I'm not sure it's worth that.
It feels very San Francisco sending the house for Trey Lance when they probably could have just sat there.
Right. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. And CJ Stroud goes 5th to the Panthers. As I mentioned, Christian Gonzalez goes really high, 6th overall to the Detroit Lions, who seemed poised to have an amazing draft with that 6th pick. And I think everyone would be sad to see that they settle on Christian Gonzalez. In fact, if they get a blue chipper in the front 7, I think they'd be great. Paris Johnson, another guy with a ton of variance, goes to the Raiders at 7th overall. There's a bunch of trades here. That's why. So the Broncos' natural pick is what nets the Panthers, CJ Stroud, which we all love. And then, yeah, what stood out to me was Bijan and Quentin Johnson dropping a bunch, as does Jordan Addison's only 20th. Darnell Watt, Quentin Johnson, 25th. And Bijan Robinson at the end of the first. I get that there's a lot of skill players, but what we've seen in years past is the skill players all get rise way up the board.
Especially those two guys. I'm not sure I have less question marks about prospects than Quentin Johnston and Bijan Robinson in terms of what we've seen from a production, their athleticism translating. They feel like top 20 guys easy.
And yet those fits are not, people aren't convinced.
Number 30 is concerning too. If the Chiefs got Jaxon Smith-Njigba, man, that is not very fun. And he's going to go higher than that. There's no way. I know he's got the injury and stuff, but that dude was incredible. I don't see him dropping that far down. Interesting that they have the Texans going Will Levis at 2 over Stroud, over Richardson. We got into that conversation pretty heavy last week. I also noticed, just talking about the skill guys and how they were going early, they have Brugler has 3 edge guys going at the top of the second round, and I just don't think that's going to be how that works out at all. I think a lot of those guys will find their way into the first. BJ Ojulari, Nolan Smith, Zach Harrison, just to name some of the guys down there.
Yeah.
And Jalin Hyatt, too. I think he'll have a little bit of a rise from his 41st overall selection here.
Agreed.
He had all 3 of those edge guys going in the second round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe one of them falls, but all 3.
Yeah.
Phillips
into the second round too.
What we're getting at is in this mock, we like a ton of the talent that's left here in the late first, early second. How do we feel about Osiris Torrance, the badass big guard out of Florida that Brugler has the Broncos selecting here?
Position in need certainly addresses a key, cog that the Broncos have been missing now for quite some time. I mean, guard play is just consistently underwhelmed. If they're going to get that run game going, if they're going to, create some opportunities for Russ and play action to roll out, kind of extend the field a little bit, they've got to shore up that interior offensive line. Not the sexiest pick, not the, flashy pick that they've had in the first round these last couple of years, but I think that'd be really solid. It'd be tough to complain about.
I don't want to jump the gun here, but man, if the Broncos are taking a guard with their first round pick, why not trade that for Sean Payton? I mean, it's a guard, man. I'm sorry. You can find a guard day 2, day 3, or even just find someone on free agency that's not going to be worth a bargain. So,
yeah, Quinn Meinert's had a stellar second half of the season. Hank was telling me about an interview with him recently where Quinn had told him he never been in a 2-point stance prior, so he really had to figure some stuff out this season. And once he did, he really shined. The other thing is all these zone blocking offenses, which we don't know what offense the Broncos will run next season. But Meinert's success in a Hackett offense didn't make me think of I sure watch those Niners every week. And I think that's not like Tom Nalen, Matt Lepsis out there, they're drafting some big boys. I would say Osiris Torrance, very scheme specific. Would it make sense if the new coaches, I don't know, some zone blocking guy, which we don't have a ton of candidates in that mold anyways. Lucio distracted me. I also, though, think he's the best available at this spot. I'm heartbroken that Darnell Washington's gone, but with those wide receivers, with Bijan still available, with those edge rushers, with Clark Phillips available, even Jahmyr Gibbs, I get that they need the guard talent, but I definitely think, again, not jumping a segment, but
I mean, it's kind of intertwined, really into one here.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. I think if the options are we land Sean Payton and you're only giving up one first round pick, that's the key distinction, at least in what I'm going with in this scenario. Then, yeah, give me Sean Payton over the guard. If they do make that pick, though, I like the value. I think he's probably the best player on the board.
He's a great pick for Sean Payton. And probably David Shaw. Like he'd have some fun in some gap schemes and really. And that's what where Peyton leaned in towards the last 5 years was they really went all in on the O-line and did their thing. There was also a mock on TDN that we wanted to look at.
Yeah.
I went on and on the Brugler one. Do you want to give us what stood out to you, Jake?
Yeah, sure. So first overall, Bryce Young. This is from Keith Sanchez of the Draft Network. He's got the Raiders trading up with the Bears to go first overall and take Bryce. Then he has the Panthers trading up to 2 with Houston to take Will Levis again at 2nd overall. I like how he did this top 10, though, because I think this is actually a lot more similar to how it would actually go with all these tackles. Broderick Jones, 3, Peter Skoronski, 4, Jalen Carter, 5, with the Broncos picked to Seattle, then Will Anderson, Paris Johnson. CJ Stroud goes at 9 to Houston, so they still get their quarterback trading back with Carolina. Scrolling through here, who else stands out? Jackson Smith and Jigba, there you go, up to 15 in this one. Christian Gonzalez at 16 before Joey Porter goes at 17. Anthony Richardson at 20. Addison, 24. Johnston, 26. So, yeah.
Johnston keeps being so low. I'm shook. Also, it does seem like Broderick Jones, who was one of those prospects with more variance, has settled in. It also seems like Brian Branch, the Alabama safety, is getting a lot more top 20 buzz.
He was really good in that bowl game against Kansas State. Really, the secondary in general played well for Bama in that game. But Branch, I thought, because Jordan Battle was kind of the guy coming into the season that I think had more of the draft shine. And even he, I think, has kind of solidified himself as a, you know, top 70 pick or wherever he's going to end up going, top 90 pick. But I think Branch has a pretty good chance to go top 25.
Yeah.
29th overall, the Broncos, again, another interior lineman. This time it's the center from Minnesota, John Michael Schmitz.
Wouldn't be a bad pick. I'd also love the center out of Michigan. And this mock has Andrew Vorhees as the top interior O-lineman, the USC guard going 11th overall to the Titans. Biggest difference is Bijan is a top 10 pick instead of the 32nd pick.
Mm-hmm. You know? 8th overall to the Falcons.
Yeah, which really stands out to me. It also has Tyree Wilson, the kind of the consensus top edge as of late. I guess, I'm sorry, edge 2 after Will Anderson. Right. He has him going very low here at the end of the first, while Derek Hall, for example, the power edge out of Auburn, is going much higher. Christian Gonzalez is going 10 spots lower. So yeah, just interesting. And again, interior O-linemen, they could use it. They probably could use the center a bit more. But, you know, like Anton Harrison, a guy who we haven't talked about much, the offensive tackle out of Oklahoma, really athletic, he was still available at this pick. I know they need a right tackle, but Harrison might just be like too good of a dancing bear to pass up, and maybe this is finally the year where Bulls maybe makes that transition to right tackle. I don't know, but doesn't seem like maybe the best value. That pick, more than any, I'm like, well, yeah, if it was the Minnesota center or Sean Payton, I guess I'll take Sean Payton. Thanks.
What is the amount of compensation that is too far for you guys in terms of acquiring Sean Payton?
Great question.
Because what, it took 2 twos and 2 seconds to land Gruden, and that was what, 20-something years ago?
I'm trying to pull this up right now. I think Mike Kliss had a report yesterday that the Saints are starting at 2 first-round picks. I mean, that just might be where the negotiations start, but man, that's pretty hefty. I would be okay giving away the first, and maybe you do like a pick swap, third, fourth round or something like that. But man, 2 first rounders is, they need a coach, but man, that's hard to swallow.
What if they're not back to back years? Is that worse or better?
Man,
I don't know. I don't want to keep giving away these picks like this, though, man. I mean, it's biting me in the ass so hard right now, the last 2 years, not having these 2 first-round picks, that parting with 2 and 1 that's potentially 2 years down the road would maybe soften the blow a bit, but that still hurts, I think.
That'd be really rough, man. That'd be really, really rough. It just
you're an NFL GM. Why don't you just think about it through the NBA lens, though, of like, I'm probably not going to be here in 5 years. So, yeah, I'll trade my first round pick from five. Like, if they were willing to take it, like, let's say you give them the first round this next year, a second the year after that, and the other first round is 5 or 6 years down the line. Obviously, that's a gamble. You never know. You know, 6 years from now, the whole world's completely different. You could be the worst team in the NFL. It could be the 32nd pick. I don't know if that's the difference between getting your guy and not getting your guy. Maybe you just go for the swing and say, fuck them picks.
I've just talked myself into this 24 draft, and I just, you know, no cap, no picks. It's a hard way to build a winner. It's just a hard way to build a winner and keep stacking and stacking and stacking. And again, like, I do have some Sean Payton questions. Like, to me, that track record is far from immaculate, you know? So, but if a Bijan Robinson were to drop, do you make that swap? Do you trade the rights to Bijan for Sean Payton?
I mean, I love me some running backs, but man, that's kind of not too far from the guard situation where it's like you're picking a low positional priority here. It's hard to rationalize taking a running back and then missing out on a coach. And then all of a sudden we're back in this situation a year or two down the line looking for another head coach. I do think, Dre, there was something you said, I think, last week that it made sense, but it's like kind of one of those things that makes you think that the Broncos may have to actually dig further into this hole to get themselves out by trading these picks for Sean Payton. It's an interesting situation that we find the Broncos in.
It's nutty, man. It's nutty. But yeah, the further you go, maybe that's the thing. You just got to go hard at all times, you know, and that'll lead to, I don't know, we'll draft Arch in 2026 and all will be well.
I do think it's interesting how little heat Sean Payton takes, just in terms of when you look at the criticism of some of these other coaches who had great quarterbacks for a long time. Mike McCarthy, I guess, for instance, you each have one Super Bowl win. Are your resumes like that different? And in terms of how they're viewed, like by the football viewing world, I don't know. It feels like, and even myself, like I'm sitting here questioning myself, like, why do I like Sean Payton so much more than I like Mike McCarthy or some of these others? I don't know. He's got some swagger to him. I do think he's got some personality. I think that just kind of wins people over. It is something to consider, though. And if you trade all this draft capital and you are trusting him to refix everything and he isn't that guy, and now he's in a position where he has to do it and you've got no money and no picks, it's a tough spot.
I'll tell you where the difference is between Payton and our guy McCarthy. Sean Payton's one of the best play designers, play callers in the NFL. I mean, McCarthy does have some offensive chops, but Payton is in another league and consistently showed, despite all the concerns about the cap, all the decisions they made in building their roster, he was year in, year out, a top five, maybe even top three play designer, play caller in the NFL.
Absolutely. And I undersold that. Like, that is a part. That's why he's my second candidate. And I undersold that drastically. You're exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to find a guy who can bring the best out of these skill positions, in theory, there's nobody better than Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Is that enough, I guess, is ultimately what it comes down to put this team into contention. And I don't know. With the O-line questions, you know, that defense has been great for a long time. They're getting older.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Bijan, do you do it? You guys don't care about running backs. I get that already.
Yeah, I would do it. I would do it. It would be hard, but I think I would do it because you have Javonte Williams. You've proven that you could sign or trade for a guy like Murray and plug and play and get production out of him. I understand it's a different level. Bijan is on another level.
Yeah, Bijan could be like our Eckler. Like, he could be amazing. He'd be. That's the problem, is all these prospects. It's like, you know, where Bijan would look amazing is in a GD Sean Payton offense. He'd be incredible in a Sean Payton offense. Okay, so then I won't even bother saying Jahmyr Gibbs. What about Quentin Johnson, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Jordan Addison?
I think I'd rather have Bijan than those guys just because you have your receivers really? Under contract.
Damn it, Justin, but fair point, but fine. Okay. Jake, where are you at? I'm way more torn on all of these, by the way. I think most of these I bring up, I'm a like, no, if I knew that was the prospect, I probably wouldn't give up that pick.
Quentin Johnston would be the one that would really have me hesitant. Because I think he can be like Justin Jefferson type 200 yards a game type impactful.
Yeah. Like healthy Mike Williams at the very least. Like shit, like an X factor, a game winner. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what about you? Same on board. No, same. Quentin Johnston he's different than the other ones. Jackson Smith and Jigba, we'd have a conversation.
My guy.
Jordan Addison.
Trade one of the veterans at that point too, you know, like maybe you add some draft capital back into the mix because you get a fourth round or a third round pick for Sutton or Patrick or whatever.
Yeah.
No, for sure. Addison, I'd feel a little more about just because I feel like the Broncos kind of already have that in Judy and Hamler when he's healthy, that speed kind of slot winner. But Quentin Johnston would be a game changer, I think.
Yeah, I agree completely. And kind of an upgrade on Courtland Sutton, and then right opens that up. I won't even bring up Darnell Washington, though I low-key love Darnell Washington. Okay, I mean, if you guys are on board with so basically we're saying it needs to be like borderline top five value. Like Brian Breece, the defensive tackle out of Clemson, I've been talking up for 3 years. Would him dropping be a...
Yeah. All-world defensive tackle is really hard to find.
Oh, my God. Especially watching these playoffs and like
what Dexter Lawrence is doing. Yeah, a guy that can potentially be three downs for you, make an impact in the run game, occasionally get that bull rush when he has the opportunity. Yeah. I don't know about top five. I think it's probably got to be like top 12-ish.
Yeah.
And maybe even take like quarterbacks out of that, like top 12 guys outside of the quarterback position because we're not taking a first round quarterback.
Right.
Do we want to get in? Go ahead, Dre.
I mean, that too, I think, like, you know, if you told me CJ Stroud or Bryce Young, I would also not trade the pick if those guys dropped. It gets a little more complex with the O-line and tackles and stuff because, frankly, that is a position where it's like, the scheme can probably fix the, like, as much as personnel, the scheme can probably fix the O-line.
If they get the hire right, which they haven't done correct. In a while, but correct. In theory.
Do we want to do the simulation?
Yeah, let's do a couple real quick. Let's wrap it up.
Okay, so in this one, Will Anderson first overall to the Bears, Bryce Young 2 to the Texans. No trades, by the way. CJ Stroud 4 to the Colts, Quentin Johnston 5 to the Seahawks with that Broncos pick, and then Will Levis at 9 to the Panthers. Going all the way down, I didn't do the Bengals pick, who's at 27, just so we can kind of talk about this a little bit more and have more possibilities. Broncos picking at 28, of course. Dre and I were talking before we started. Bengals probably go in, I don't know, O-line, interior O-line seems like a pick that they could use. Dre brought up safety, cornerbacks. So there's guys all over the place there. The highest ranked guy is Brian Branch, so I'll just throw him there to the Bengals. So that leaves us in terms of offensive tackles. There's still the Oklahoma kid, Anton Harrison's there. Interior O-line, our guy Osiris Torrance is there. John Michael Smith is there. Cornerbacks, not much to work with. Edge, Nolan Smith is still there. Tuli Tuipulotu is still there too. He was an animal at USC this last season.
Yeah.
Defensive tackles, there's the big Baylor guy. That's about it though. Jahmyr Gibbs still there. Josh Downs is your best available wide receiver, and your boy Darnell Washington is there, Dre.
Who probably should have gone to that Bengals pick ahead, and I'd be all over. Darnell Washington is an offensive tackle playing tight end, essentially. That's the appeal. And, like, you know, guys like that would go a long way in changing the vibe of this team, you know. Like, having some alphas on the actual field as well would be really nice. And Darnell Washington's really intriguing. And he's got that Georgia thing going for him where it's like, how much untapped potential is there because they had so many playmakers?
Mm-hmm.
God, he would be fun. He'd just be a mauler out there. I don't understand. It seems like Nolan Smith's stock has kind of dropped significantly of late. I don't really understand that. Where are you at with him, Jake?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about that too, because just going back through my mind, I think he was like a penciled in first rounder when we were doing all these during the season. So that's curious. But I mean, we saw this with Trevon Walker a little bit last year. I mean, he was kind of dropping down a bit, and then he had the late push, ended up going first overall, of course. So we'll see. I love Tui Peloto, though. That guy was an absolute animal for the Trojans last year. Jahmyr Gibbs is there. Again, running back at 28. It's a hard sell. It all depends on who's the coach and if you trade that pick, of course. Top available guy, though, is Antonio Johnson, the safety out of Texas A&M. Kareem's getting up there. It's going to be a need in some way or another. I will say on this tight end class, just kind of looking ahead, we're going to get into it next week, I know for sure, but it seems like a fairly deep tight end class.
That would be the only thing that would have me hesitant about Washington that early is, could we sit and potentially get the kid from Oregon State late in the third, you know, or, you know, Kincaid out of Utah, something like that. Yeah. I think there are a lot of impactful players. Washington's also just physically on another level. Like, yeah, there just really isn't a player like him. And like Dre said, I don't think we've come even close to seeing what Washington can be, because as good as he is as a blocker and that de facto tight end, he actually really is effective as a pass catcher in the open field. And for a guy that moves that well, he runs pretty well too. Like, he's not the shiftiest dude. He's not going to, you know, juke a guy in the open field, do some of the stuff that you could see. Even like Gronk had some shiftiness when he was running in the open field, might make a safety miss if he goes low. I don't know if he's going to do that, but if you try and arm tackle this dude, he's going to run straight through you. Like, you just, he's a physical freak. It's like having Shaq play tight end for you.
Right. Yeah. And he'd complement Dulcich nicely. Like, I don't think tight end is necessarily a huge need, but this kind of tight end, this kind of upside, like, he would be a complete tone setter and would change the math of your offense in a lot of ways with the amount of blockers you can dedicate on a play-by-play basis. But this is the classic Broncos mock scenario with this Niners pick, is how things unfolded here. You know what the best outcome is? Probably trading down and adding multiple seconds, multiple day two picks, future picks, or whatever, and being able to sacrifice a smidge of value because everyone's kind of in a lower tier here. There's no big dog that dropped. And then just loading up on a couple of the guys we've mentioned between O-line, edge, corner, you know, what have you, wide receiver, maybe Darnell Washington drops. So I could see him blowing up the combine and being like a top 15.
Right.
So yeah. And this simulator, again, I think feeds into, like, it's a late first. You're not sacrificing that much for Sean Payton, all in all. Like, they're lucky it's not their natural first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no kidding. Sure. Yeah,
and I wonder how much that's playing into the Broncos becoming the front runners for Sean Payton. Well, yeah, the Cards have a top 5 pick. The Panthers have a top 10 pick. Like, the Colts, you know, like, it's a different deal. And on top of the Broncos having just bigger pockets.
This is just such a unique situation, such a different situation than we've talked about the past 2-3 years on this show. I mean, we had debates over where to pick or who to pick at these top draft selections, but man, this is just a whole other ballgame of, you know, I don't know. You just make one decision and the butterfly effect is truly unknown at this point, man. It's going to be a curious case to see how this all turns out.
Well, it's going to be fun. We are going to be here for it all. We'll keep you up to date with all things college football, all things NFL draft. We're going to begin our position previews next week.
Yes.
I believe we're going to start with interior O-line and tight ends.
Let's go.
Yep.
Kind of slowly work our way towards some of the flashier, more fun position groups. But Yep. I'm really looking forward to diving into all of this. As always, shout out to our presenting sponsors, DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app, use that code DNVR when you sign up. Stay safe, stay warm out there. Much love, y'all. Peace.